me are ready to get out of your comfort zone. You guys a lot more with it in the first service. I had two in the first service. I think we had a dozen this time. How many are ready to get out of your comfort zone? There you go. Some of you, it's a clap of faith because you're not there yet, but you want to be there. So I appreciate that clap of faith. We know we're talking about leaving our comfort zone and how this chair represents the comfort zone that we get in as Christians many times. And that God is calling us out of our spiritual lazy boy to make a difference in the kingdom of God. A couple weeks ago, we talked about we'll never, ever leave our comfort zone until we learn to leave our past, get beyond our past. That for some of us here, we're stuck in 1988. We're stuck in what mistake we made in 1988. We're stuck in our divorce in 1996. We're stuck in the mistake we made in 2001. And we're stuck right there in those years because we haven't allowed ourselves to go any further in God, either because we disqualify ourselves. But how many are glad the Bible is full of people who've blown it? I tell you what, if we just took out the names of the people who've blown it in Scripture, there'd be no names in Scripture. It'd be a bunch of stories without any names, because this is about every person in Scripture we hear somewhere along the line they blew it. You know why it's important? Because I can relate to people who've blown it. I can relate to people. I can't relate to no one who's never had any problems in their life. I can't relate to anybody who's never suffered rejection. I can't relate to anybody who's never went through tragic loss in their life. I can't relate to anybody who's ever made a big mistake. But I can relate to those people. And I love it that God put those people in Scripture that you and I can relate to. These people suffered tragic losses of loved one. They suffered many mistakes they shouldn't have made. They suffered some really hard times in their life. They made a lot of bonehead mistakes, just like you and I. And that's why it's awesome that as we look in Scripture and study it out, that God didn't use perfect people, but He used people just like you and me that we can relate to. So when we're talking about leaving our comfort zone, we got to get beyond our past hurt. We got to get beyond our past failure. We got to get beyond our grief and say, God, I'm getting out and becoming the person you're calling me to be. Last week, we took off our shoes. Wasn't that a big thing? For many of you, that was a big thing. Some of you never taken off your shoes in public before, ever. That was a big thing. Some of you sent me those emails this week, and I enjoyed reading those stories where you said, Pastor, I've never done that before in my life. But I want you to know, I feel like God told me to do it, and I was obedient, and it really meant something to me. Last week, we talked about the significance of taking off our shoes in Scripture, and how in Scripture, when you took off your shoes, it's signifying you was giving up your rights and saying, God, I'm giving up my rights to you. I'm giving up my ability to be in charge, and I'm putting you in charge. It's a powerful time as we worshiped together last week. Many people came to the front with their shoes off and worshiped with their shoes off, signifying that they were giving God complete in charge of their life. Today I want to talk to you about the thought, are we ever good enough? Are we ever good enough? Isn't that the question that we continue to ask all the time? Am I good enough? Come on, ladies, you know what I'm talking about. Every time you look in the mirror, you ask yourself that question. Am I pretty enough? Am I good enough? Guys, we compare ourselves with other people we work with and other men we see, and every time we drive by a house, I wonder if I measure up. I wonder if I'm good enough. I wonder if my dad thought I was good enough. I wonder if my wife thinks I'm good enough. I wonder if my children see me as good enough. It's something that we all struggle with to the point where we even relate over into our Christianity. I tell you, there's times I struggle with as a pastor, and I compare. You know, have you ever compared? Am I the only one that ever compares here? Okay, I've struggled with comparing before. I compared to other pastors who, you know, I think, all right, we started our church 6 years ago, and boy, we've grown pretty fast. And so compared to them, I'm doing pretty good. And I feel good about myself, and I pat myself on the shoulder. Then I look at other pastors I know who've started their church about the same time we have, and they're much bigger than us. And I look at them, and I'm like, boy, I don't feel so good. Come on, am I the only one that ever compares? We compare ourselves, don't we? We compare ourselves to each other. Don't lie. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You compare yourself to each other. Well, I know, God, I'm not as good as the person sitting over here on this side of the church that I know. They're so good. He tissues. You know what I'm talking about? Kind of like my wife. She's never had anything but NyQuil to drink in her whole life. I mean, so good. He tissues. But when I compare myself to the person over here, I feel really good about myself. I seen their post on Facebook this week. And compared to them, I'm doing really good. And we want to compare and justify our Christianity compared to how good we are. And let me just tell you, we're never, ever good enough. According to God's standard, we're never good enough. According to God's righteousness, we are never good enough. You've heard me talk about that. You've heard me teach about that. Because his standard is so high that even if we have one speck of sin, let's say we know somebody and they've only sinned one time in their life. And maybe they've only sinned one time. They're still not good enough. Scripture says, for we have all sinned to come short of God's glory. No one is good enough. And we never reach a standard. So we got to stop trying to enter into the kingdom of God by being good enough. We got to break this mentality of saying God is going to use me and qualifying ourselves and qualifying our salvation, qualifying our gifts, qualifying our talents, qualifying how God wants to use us according to are we good enough? Because on our own, none of us are good enough. According to Scripture, everyone that God used in Scripture, they were not good enough. They'd all blown it. They'd all made huge mistakes. They'd all been weak in their faith. They'd all had times of struggle. Let's look at our text today, and we're going to look and spend most of our time on this story today in Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22. And as Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down and asked, "Good teacher." Isn't that interesting that he called him that name? Good teacher. You can already see where his mind says that. You're the best teacher. You're the good teacher. You teach about being good. Look what he asked him. "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Look at Jesus' response. First of all, he deals with the first statement. "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked, "Only God is truly good." Now, you've heard me talk about this, and this story right here by Jesus reiterates the lesson I've taught you, that God's nature is good. You want to know who God is? He's good. When Moses asked God, remember he said, "Show me your glory." Remember at the bottom of the mount, he said, "God, I want to know who you are. Show me your glory." And God said, "I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock. When I come by, you won't see my face, but you can at least see behind me." And it says that when he passed Moses, that God showed him what? It said God showed him his goodness. You want to know what God's famous for? He's famous for being good. He's famous for being good and having goodness. That's why he told Moses, "Moses, when I pass by, I'm going to show you who I am. I'm going to show you my goodness. This is my glory. It's so good, you can't obtain it. You can't comprehend it. I'm so much better than what you know and what you think and the goodness that comes out of me. We cannot comprehend how good our God is." And Jesus is reaffirming it right here in the story. He says, "Don't call me good. There's only one. Only God is truly good." But to go back to your original question, he says, let's answer your question. You know the commandments. Everybody ever heard of the Ten Commandments? Okay. Jesus quotes them. I'm right here. "You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and mother." Look what he says. "Now, teacher," the man replied, "I have obeyed all these commandments since I was young." Looking at the man, Jesus felt a genuine love for him. That's an awesome statement. Jesus felt a genuine love. Don't you love that statement? That when Jesus looks at you and I, he genuinely loves us. We'll come back to that today. He said, "There is still one thing you haven't done," he told him. "Go and sell all your possessions, give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven." Then he says, "Come and follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad, for he had many possessions. The first thing I want to talk to you about is, number one, good is not good enough. So look in the story. Good is not good enough. He's asking the question, how good do I have to be? What's the good things I got to do to make it to heaven? What's the good things I got to do to be a follower of you, Jesus? We see the same story shared two more times in two different Gospels. Let's pick it up in Matthew 19. Let's read verses 16 and 17. Someone came to Jesus, the same story, with this question. "Teacher, what good deed?" Everybody say good. He said, "What good deed must I do to have eternal life?" "Why ask me about this? What is good?" Jesus replied. "There's only one who is good. But to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commands." There was something about this that he was asking the question that you and I continually to ask is, what good thing do I have to do? We're constantly thinking that I've got to do more good than I do bad. And we're constantly on this scale. Remember me teaching about the scale of good and bad and how we think we got to pile up on our scale more good than bad to even it out or to outweigh our bad. And if we do that, we're okay. If I do more good things than I do bad things, then I'm okay. God's going to love me. God can use me. I'll make it to heaven. That's kind of our viewpoint. We're always striving to be good. And let me just continue to tell you this statement. Time and time again, it's coming out in this message. It's coming out in several messages. Is that we are never good enough. I don't care who you are. You're never good enough. I'm never good enough. We're only made good through our relationship with Jesus Christ when we accept his righteousness. You ever think about this? How many commandments did Jesus list there? Out of all the commands, there were 10 commandments. How many did he list? 6, correct? Jesus listed 6 commandments. You ever think that'd be strange? Why did he list 6 commands when there's 10? Well, let me tell you this. The first 4 commandments had to do about our relationship with God. The second 6 commandments had to do about our relationship with each other. And so when Jesus was talking to them about being good, he's like, have you kept the commands? And he listed the 6 that had to do about our relationship with each other. Isn't that kind of strange? Something to think about it. He just listed the 6 that had to do about us. Matter of fact, if I remember right, Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commands we can keep? And he said, basically, it comes down to 2 things anyway. It comes down to loving God with all your heart and loving your neighbor as yourself. 4 commands have to do with what? How we treat God, how we serve God. 6 commands have to do how we relate to each other. See, Jesus wasn't just narrowing it down to 2 commands. He was saying, this is what it's about. The commands about how we treat each other and how we serve God, keeping him first in our life, putting no gods before him, making no graven image that we keep him first. But Jesus said to the young ruler, he says, basically, how are you keeping these commands? Yes, you are. He goes, well, you're still not good enough. You're still not good enough. Look what Romans 3:12 says. There is none who does good. I love this verse. There is none who does good. No, not one. I love that because when we hear that, we're like, there's none who's good. All right, there's none who does good. And we're automatically like, what about Mother Teresa? No, not one. There's none who does good. What about Billy Graham? No, not one. It's like he knew automatically our mind was going to go right there. Our mind was going to go, what about? And he's like, no, not one. You see, it's the same thing that we all try to make excuses about who's good, who's not. It's kind of the same excuse that my kids use with me. I'll hear someone hit their sister. She's crying. I come in the room. I'm talking to one of my boys. I'm like, who hit your sister? What's going on? They're like, dad, wait, dad, calm down. Wait, dad. Let me just kind of just tell you one thing, dad. I didn't hit her in the face. I hit her in the stomach. Like that's going to justify. Oh, thank you, my son. You done so good. Thank you. You didn't hit your sister in the face. You hit her in the stomach this time. You didn't leave a mark. Oh, you're doing so good. I mean, we try to justify, you know, you want to give your kid the spanking. I know that's kind of a foreign thing, but you know, I'd give my kid the spanking before. And how many ever got a spanking growing up? You turn out okay. All right, just making sure. And so they're like, Dad, hang on. Let me just tell you one thing, Dad. Before you do it, Dad, I love you. I love you too, son. Oh, you know, what am I thinking? I'm not going to spank you. That's what happened. Like, I love you too, but you know, you still got to suffer the consequences. And my kids try to get me laughing, you know, this whole thing. They try it, but it doesn't work. But anyway, you know, it's like they try to justify. I was bad, but I was better than what you thought. It's just kind of the way you and I approach our relationship with God. God, I was bad, but I wasn't as bad as Mike. God, I was bad, but I wasn't as bad as TJ. God, I was bad, but I wasn't as bad as Jason. God, I was bad, but, you know, we constantly do that. But I did a lot better this time than I did last time. And we just try to continually to have this argument in our head about who's good and are we good enough. And we got to quit having this argument in our head about, are we good enough? Because the answer is no. We're never good enough. Whether you hit her in the face or hit her in the hand or hit her in the stomach, it's still wrong. We're never good enough. Whether you got one sin you've ever committed or a thousand sins you've ever committed, you're never good enough. It's only by His righteousness that I'm saved. It's only by His grace that I can come and be made righteous and be made good enough is through the blood of Jesus Christ. It only comes through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But realizing this, the young man was asking the same question that you and I struggle with all the time. What must I do good? Which brings us to our second part of this story. God requires total commitment. God requires total commitment. Would you give everything away to go to heaven? Let me ask you that question again. Would you give everything away that you have to go to heaven? Yes, you would. I would too. Let me ask you this next question. Have you given everything away to God? Have you given everything away to God? Are you asking me, have I sold everything and given to the poor? Like, no, that's not the question I'm asking you. The question is this. Have you said, God, every part of my life belongs to You. Everything I own belongs to You. Everything You run through my hands, God, belongs to You. Everything that comes through my house belongs to You. God, everything that's in my possession, it belongs to You. And if You ask me to give it away, I'll give it away. If You ask me to use it for Your glory, I'll use it for Your glory. Are we holding on to things? See, God wants it all. That's what He wants. He wants it all. That's what He's asking. This is the reason why He was asking this rich young ruler, was not because he wanted his money, but this man was so rich. I've read stories about how wealthy this man was. And they said he had enough money to support all of Israel for 10 years. He could support every household in Israel for 10 years. He had all this money, all this wealth, and it was his prized possession because he was young and he had attained all this. And so God was asking him to give up the very thing he valued most. For some of you, if God asked you to give up all your money, that wasn't a big deal. Yeah, God, I'll write that check right now. Maybe it'll clear. Maybe it won't. It ain't going to cost you that much. But God asked you to give up your time. Oh, I can't go there. I'm too busy. I got to be in bed at 8 o'clock. Oh, my house. That's my personal space. Don't you ask people to come to my house and have a study about God. Woo! I'll go to their house, but they can't come to my house. That belongs to me. Oh, this is good. We're talking about where we live. God, You're asking me to give my time up to serve. I can't do that. I'm busy. Does everything you have belong to God or not? Because God wants you all in. This is what He was asking the rich young ruler. It wasn't that he wanted his money. It's that he wanted him all in. And his possessions was keeping him back from being all in. And so it's not about giving, you know, my money. It's about giving everything. Everything I have belongs to God. For some of you, that's a big deal. For some of you, you know what I'm talking about. We haven't learned to go all in. We read verse 21 a while ago in Mark chapter 10. Let's read that verse again. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have, give it to the poor, release it, and you'll have treasures in heaven. And come and take up what? Your cross and follow me. It's the same pattern Jesus taught throughout Scripture. He told his disciples the same thing. Look, we find the same principle in Matthew 16, 24. Jesus talking to his disciples. Then Jesus said to his disciples, Christ followers, if anyone desires to what? To come after me, to be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. It's the pattern that he set for every one of us being a Christian. Let me tell you that Christianity is so much more than saying a prayer. Christianity is so much more than asking Jesus into our heart. Being a Christian is becoming a Christ follower means that, man, you learn to give God all your life. And it's not always easy. I'll tell you that. It's not always easy, but it's a place of saying, God, I'm going to let go. I'm going to get out of my comfort zone. I'm going to let go of who I am and learn to sell out and give You everything I am. That takes leaving your comfort zone and saying, God, I'm ready to sell out to you. God, I'm ready to be 100% committed to you. God, I'm ready. God, I'm ready to turn my life over to you. The young man couldn't do it, and he walked away sad because he had many things that he was treasuring in his heart. I wonder how many of us, like, God, I'm afraid if I give you everything, you're going to ask me to go where I don't want to go. God, you're going to ask me to do what I don't want to do. You're going to ask me to give up what I want to give up. And so we'll stay right there, come up with excuses. Either we don't think we can grow. Well, Pastor, from 1971 all the way up to 1994, I taught a class. Well, good for you. What have you done this year? I'm not trying to discredit what you've done in your past, but what I'm saying, what are you doing now? What are you doing now? Are you growing this year? Are you growing and saying, God, how can I be used of you now?
I used to do that, Pastor, but I blew it, man. I blew it. You don't know how bad I am.
Yeah, I do. I don't care. I really don't. You need to get over yourself. I don't care. I care about where you're going, not where you've been. That God is calling you out and wanting you to give your whole life to him. God's calling you out and wanting you to give your life totally, 100%. It's all in. God requires what? Total commitment. What are the things that you're holding on to the most in your life? What are the things you treasure the most in your life? Jesus asked him to drop what he had and follow him. See, Jesus is asking you and I the same question today. He's asking you and I to create space in our life to do the will of the Father. He had to let go so that he could create space in his life to be a follower of Jesus. If you're going to reach others, you're going to have to let go of the things that you value most and create space in your life to reach others. Oh, Pastor, I'm praying that so-and-so would just get saved. I'm praying that God would change their life around. And I'm praying that God would send somebody to be their friend. No, you're going to have to let go of some things. I don't have time for that, Pastor. What do you value the most? See, when it comes to doing God's work, we're going to have to create space, let go of some things that we've had a hold of. Say, God, I'm creating space so that I can reach out to somebody else. If I don't have time to build a relationship with somebody that God's laying on my heart, then I'm too busy. And I've got to create space. I've got to let go of some things so that I can make room to do the will of the Father. I've got to create room. God is wanting us to create room for more of him in our life. You must create space in your life for more of God. You want more of God in your life? Yes, I do. Then create space for him. The more junk I give up, the more space I leave for God to inhabit. The more bad habits I give up, the more space I'm giving my life to receive more of God in my life. The more things I give up that I hold on to tightly, the more space I give for God to come and invade my life, to immerse himself in me. It's not always easy, I tell you, and I understand. I've been there because we're naturally selfish people. We naturally want to hold on to the things we're secure in. But Christianity is about letting go, fully in, saying, God, I'm fully committed to you. We must create space for more time with God, and we must create space for time to reach others in our life. I love this scripture in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, ladies, I love it when they take time to address the ladies. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always. How often? Do we need a Greek dictionary to figure this out, Pastor Matt? Okay. Always means what? Always. Yeah, we know. Always. All the time. Give yourselves what? Fully to the work of the Lord. Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Let me give this quote to you. Write this down. Not everyone is called into full-time ministry. But all are called into lifelong ministry. Not everyone's called into full-time ministry, but everyone is called into lifelong ministry.
That means that, because that's what Scripture says that we are called to what? To fully give ourselves to the works of the Lord. And so that means I'm going to leave my comfort zone and say, God, where do you want to use me? God, you called me. Just think about it. If we were all working in full-time ministry, how would the world get saved? If every teacher here quit their job, working full-time ministry, who's going to witness to the other teachers at school? If every welder here quit their job and went into full-time ministry, who's going to reach the welders at their job? We're all called, and what we got to realize is that when God places me in a field, He's placed me there as a full-time minister. I'm called to do the full work of the gospel. I'm called to fully work for Him. That's a big responsibility. That means I got to be all in. I got to be all in. I committed. God, I'm giving you all my life. Not just Sunday, but God, I'm learning to give you my whole life on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, God, it belongs to you. Does that mean I can't have any fun? No. It's not what I'm talking about. You know me, I love to have fun. I go to ball games. I go to concerts. I go to movies. Oh, you go to movies? Yes, I go to movies. I love having fun. It's not what I'm talking about, but you know what? I want to tell you right now, I want to live on the edge. Anything God asks me to do, I want to do. Anything He asks, anywhere He asks me to go, I want to go. Anyone He wants me to talk to, I'll talk to. Anything He wants me to give that I have, it belongs to Him. If He asks me to sign it over to Him, it's His. If He asks me to sell it and give it away, I'll give it away, because everything I have belongs to Him. And I've done that before. I remember one time someone gave me a car, and I needed the car. It wasn't a great car, but someone just turned around and said, God told me to give you this car. And He gave me this car. You know how long I had that car? 2 weeks. Because God told me to give it to somebody else who didn't have a car. Somebody else I knew through, this person I was witnessing to, went through bankruptcy, and they had lost their whole business. And they come and took their car and had nothing. And God said, I want you to give that car. That's why I gave you that car. I want you to turn around and give it to that person. That person was not even a believer. I turned around and gave them a car. I will do it. If God asks me to do it, I'll do it. Let me tell you this real fast. If God can get it through you, He'll get it to you. Everything I have belongs to God. Pastor, I'm all in. I'm all in. Do you pay your tithes? No, but I'm all in. You're not even 10% of the way in, buddy. Oh, I love Him. Everything I have belongs to God. Turn to your neighbor and say, oh, it's getting quiet in here. I'm saying we're learning to give everything we have. It's all in. Some of you are more than willing to give your 10%, but you ain't willing to give 10% of your time. It's about, are we willing to give everything? Are we all in? Are you all in? The last point today. Jesus loved him. Isn't that awesome? I don't want to overlook this part of the scripture, because it says Jesus, two times we read it, the Mark 10:21, we read it, it says, and Jesus looked at him and with love. When we don't measure up, God looks to us in love. When you think you're not good enough and you're not making it, God still looks at you with love. We don't earn His love. We don't give to get His love. He freely gave us His love on the cross. He freely gave me His love, and He's freely given it to you and I. He loved us unconditionally. He gives us His love. I love the second part of the story in Mark 10, verses 23 and 27. The second part of the story, after the man went away, Jesus turned around, and now He looked at His disciples, and He asked this question, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? This just amazed them. They were amazed. But Jesus said again, dear children, it's very hard to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Look what they said. The disciples were astounded. I mean, they've been with Jesus all this time, and yet this astounds them. You know why it astounds them? Because Jesus asked this question. Then who the world can be saved? They asked, and Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it's impossible. With God, everything is possible. And they were astounded. Why were His disciples astounded? You know why? Because his disciples, some of you, we get this picture of disciples, some poor guys walking on the sideline, you know. They're following Jesus because they had nothing to give up. No, it says they gave up their boats. They gave up their nets. They were tax collectors. These guys were small businessmen. They had boats. We know how, you know how much it costs you to have commercial boating to go fishing in today's market? That's a lot of money. Let's just do the math. Go back to that time. It cost a lot of money to have multiple boats back then. It cost a lot of money to have multiple nets. They had guys who were working for them. So these guys, some of these guys especially, they were wealthy men. The tax collectors were really wealthy. You've heard me tell stories about how they collected taxes back then. The government charged you 10%, and they could charge you another 10% if they wanted to, or 20%, and pocket it. That's the way the rules were. So these guys were very wealthy men. And so when Jesus said, if you've got money, it's hard for a guy who's rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. These guys were astounded. They're like, oh my. But what about us? We've abandoned it all to follow after you, and yet you're saying it's hard. And Jesus is like, it is hard. Because the kingdom of God is about abandonment. It's about full commitment to God. It's not about attending church on a Sunday and saying, I've gone to church, I've done good. Am I good enough? No, it's about saying, God, I've blown it, but you've made me good through the Son, through the blood of Jesus Christ. And God, I want to learn every day to give myself fully to you. God, I want to learn to release the things I hold on closely in order to make more space in my life to do the will of the Father. That's what he's asked us to give up. He's asking us to be all in. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. Today I want to ask you the question I asked this morning. We had those who made the decision to follow after Jesus today for the first time in their life already today. And I ask you the same question. Maybe you hear and say, Pastor, I've never given up my life to Jesus. As you're talking today, I realize God's calling me to give up my life to Jesus. I want to ask Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. I've never prayed a sinner's prayer before, and I want to pray that prayer today, asking God to be my Father. Forgive me my sins. Maybe you prayed that prayer a long time ago, and today you say, Pastor, I want to come back and I want to renew that prayer. I want to renew my commitment to God. I haven't lived for God in a long time. Today, I want to come back and renew my commitment. Nobody's looking around but me. I would not embarrass you at all. But if you're here today and you want to accept Jesus Christ, can you just raise your hand where you're at where I can see it? Thank you. Anybody else today? Thank you. Anybody else say, I'm willing today? Thank you. Raise it high. If you haven't raised it yet, raise it high right now. Say, I'm ready to pastor. Today's my day. Thank you. One more time. I'm going to ask one more time. If you haven't raised your hand, this is your chance. Raise it right now. I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ. We're going to say this prayer, and especially those who raised your hands today. As Christians, we're going to say it out loud with you. I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sin. I give you everything I am. All of my sin, all of my life, all of my dreams, all of my hurt, everything I have belongs to you today. I believe you are God's Son, the Messiah. And from this day forward, I will live for you. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, we say, welcome to the family of God. Yeah, give him a hand. Awesome. Before you leave today, we have a, if you stop by our information booth in the back, we've got a Bible, and it's free for you. We got some other information that tells you what you need to do next on your new journey. It's just a starting. It's not the ending point. It's the start of a new journey. So make sure you stop by it today. Receive those free material to help you out. If you don't have a church home, you need to be involved in a church home. They'll support you and help you grow. How many today say, Pastor, as you're speaking today, I realize I've still got some things I'm holding on to. And today, I want to tell God I'm all in. I'm ready to go all in. Anybody here say, Pastor, I'm ready to go all in? If that's you, stand to your feet. I'm ready to go all in, God. God's doing something. Let me tell you, God's doing something in our hearts. God's changing us. Today, if you're standing on your feet, I want you to step out of your seat and come and join me in the front today. Say, Pastor, I'm all in, man. I'm coming to the front today. I'm walking out of my past. I'm walking up saying, God, I'm ready to give you my whole life. There's something about coming up to the front that just signifies I'm stepping out.
I'm leaving the person I was. I'm stepping into my future. I'm stepping into my destiny. I'm stepping into the will of God of my life. Come on, close up to the front, guys, if you can. Make room for those coming in from behind you. If you can scoot up to the front. There you go. Thank you. Today we're going to close with this song. It simply says, I'm giving my life away. And I want you to just to make this your prayer of your heart. Saying, God, I'm giving my life away to you. Everything I have, God, I'm all in. 100%, I'm in. Come on, let's sing it.
Give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Here I am. Here I stand. Lord, my life is in your Lord, I'm longing to see your desires revealed in me. I give myself away. Oh, Lord, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Oh Lord, I give myself away so you can use me. Take my heart. Oh Lord,
take my
raise your hands, make it our prayer.
Ooh, my life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you.
We're all in, Father. Oh, we're giving everything to you.
This life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. I give myself to you. Oh, my life is not
Father, right now, Lord, I pray with our hands raised, Lord, I pray that God, we would learn to be all in. God, we're learning to be all in. God, we're learning what it means, Lord, to be your follower, to be your disciple. But God, the things that we've held on too close, God, today you're asking us to release those things to you. For every one of us here is different things. Some is possessions, some is relationships, some is things that we own. But whatever it is, Father, I pray right now, God, we let go of our fear. We let go of the things we're holding on to close. And we say today, God, we are all in. We'll stop trying to be good enough. And we'll just simply learn to be a follower of Jesus means to be all in. And Lord, today I pray that as we learn to go all in, that God, you're going to take us to another level. God, you're going to take us spiritually to another level. You're pulling us out of our comfort zone. And God, you're taking us to a place we've never been before in the kingdom of God. You're taking us to a new level of maturity. You're taking us to a new level of place where you can use us, you can mold us, and God, you can change us into the people you're calling us to be. And we lift our hands and we say, yes, Father. We say, yes, Father. We give ourselves to you. Come on, one more time. Tell us, I give myself to you, Father. Everything I am.
I give myself away so you can use me.
If you agree with that word today, I want you to put your hands together and say, yes, I come into agreement with that word. When we clap our hands, we say we are in agreement. Yes. And so may it be. God, we agree with that word today. God, we say yes, God. We are giving our life to you, learning to give total control of our life to you. Today, before you leave, let me remind you of one more thing. Life groups tonight, and also the taco feed. If you want to stop and have some tacos back there or buy a dessert, we encourage you. Go by and support our Gap ministry. Turn around and give someone a high five. Say, man, it was good to be with you today. God bless you. You have a great week.